What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Marshall Time, episode 48. Usually we're in separate locations. The first time we did this thing live, bro.
I know.
Home it's studios.
Long time coming.
You know, so hopefully we get more chances to do this in person in the future. But a couple big stories that popped off in the NBA NFL since we last had our show. We're going to go over both of them. The most recent one in the NFL, the Jets firing their head coach, Robert Saleh. Not a shock. The Jets were a team that I had under surveillance, and I've officially put them on my unserious list that we're keeping throughout the year. Added the Browns to the list as well. But, yeah, the Jets have fired Robert Saleh. Not a shock. They lose to the Vikings. They lose to Sam Darnold, a quarterback who they drafted today, who they used to have. And obviously, after signing Aaron Rodgers, whatever he wants, he's going to get. They can say whatever they want. He had no idea this was going to happen. He had no say. Well, no, he had say. I don't care what they say. However you want to spin it, you got Nathaniel Hackett as the OC because that's who you wanted. The issue isn't the defense. The issue is the offense, and you're cooked. But Saleh was going to be the fall guy. That's the reality of it. You're still the Jets. You're still not a good franchise. I have numbers to prove it, factuals to prove it. But that's my initial reaction. This changes nothing. The issue is still there. The issue is the offense is boring outside of Garrett Wilson. I mean, your other wideouts are Alan Lazard and Mike Williams. Breece Hall isn't really performing as most would expect him to. Nathaniel Hackett as an OC, I mean, I'm not really – come on. Let's be honest here. And so for the Jets, they're going to continue the Jet. Same old, same old. That's my initial reaction to what the Jets did. This does nothing to change my thoughts. I think the season goes how it's going to go. They're not a playoff team to me.
Yeah, this move to me just screams desperate, right? You spoke on it. On paper, we know what the Jets were coming in. Like, they had a good defense in the past. They still have a good defense. They have some playmakers on the defensive side of the ball. You bring in Aaron Rodgers. You brought him in last year. The O-line got him in trouble, got him hurt, right? First game in the season. They tried to beef up the O-line, make it better. As we see, things still aren't clicking. Like, we watched that game in London. A-Rod was under a lot of pressure that whole game, right? And he was trying to maneuver, and he was trying to make some plays, and they still could have won that game. A couple of drop balls, drop catches, they would have won, you know what I mean? So I think what's surprising to me is how everything was handled. Like, they said Robert Saleh made a coaching change. He demoted Hackett. Then they fired him. Then they're saying reports that he had to get escorted out by security. Then it's reports that the owner did the move. He didn't even inform the front office that they were going to fire Saleh. So it just seemed like a whole bunch of confusion and just like what's really going on in the Jets organization. Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen to them for the rest of the season because, like I said, they're in panic mode, as you can see. Like, we're only four or five games into the year, and a head coach is already getting fired on the team we're talking about that should be contenders. You know what I mean? And they have talent on the roster. And just even from watching that game on Sunday, you spoke on it already, but their play calling is terrible. Like, that first half was brutal to watch. And granted, Aaron Rodgers made some bad decisions himself. But even then, I saw they weren't going to Garrett Wilson as much until later in the game, right? He ended up with a lot of catches. But early on, I'm watching the game like, yo, your job as an offensive coordinator is to put the ball in the hands of your best weapons, right? Now, not saying you got to go to him every single play, but we know on this offense, you have Breece Hall, who is a dynamic running back, and Garrett Wilson, who is a dynamic receiver. And you have a quarterback that can still throw. I'm not saying he's the same that he was, right? He's not as quick as he used to be. He can't move as much, but the arm talent is still there. You see it. So I don't know what's really going to happen to him. I guess it's a move that had to be made. Obviously, somewhere there's a disconnect somewhere. I don't know where it's at exactly. Only they know. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens the rest of the way for them.
It's a move that's desperate, right? Because when you look at the situation and with the Jets, when it comes to the AFC, they still have a chance to actually win their division. I mean, the AFC East is so bad. The Jets are still in it. I mean, I think it's them and Buffalo, as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
The Pats, that's a whole different situation. The Dolphins look horrible without Tua. Even when Tua comes back, I don't have enough confidence that they'll get it together. I don't know what's happening with that situation, right? And so the crazy thing is, you're 2-3. You have a chance to win the AFC East and still be a playoff team, even be a wild card team. This is a desperate situation. I think they're looking to see if there is a boost with a new voice, a change in voice. But this is an Aaron Rodgers decision. Aaron Rodgers runs this team. outside of the ownership, Aaron Rodgers runs, he runs this team, right? And so let's talk about who the Jets are. You lose to San Francisco. When they beat the Titans, I was like, they're under surveillance because you barely beat the Titans. That's not, come on. You don't get any points. Kudos for that. You beat the Patriots. Everybody thought, okay, they two straight wins. They figured it out. Relax. You lose to the Broncos. You score 9 points. Then you lose to the Vikings. That's who you are. This is who you have been. 2023, 7-10. 2022, 7-10. 2021, 4-13. 2020, 2-14. 2019, 7-9. 2018, 4-12. 2017, 5-11. 2016, 5-11. Robert Saleh isn't the reason why the Jets have been trash since 2016. Robert Saleh isn't the reason why Aaron Rodgers threw, what, 3 picks on Sunday? That wasn't Robert Saleh's fault. Robert Saleh isn't the reason why this offense has been inept at best, right? But, of course, the coaches are going to get the blame. That's the first person in this situation. It was always going to be Robert Saleh. So, for the Jets, I really don't – look, this is what happens when you give money to an aging quarterback coming off a major injury. They pretty much sacrifice their future for Aaron Rodgers. And at this point, you're not winning a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers. Last year was a wasted year with the injury. That was a wash. This year is a wasted year. So where are you? You're back at where you were last year and the year before. Like, this franchise is no closer to being a Super Bowl contender than they were 2 years ago. I don't believe in it. Are they a better team than Buffalo at this point? I wouldn't say they are, because I trust a Josh Allen offense over Aaron Rodgers and what Nathaniel Hackett and those guys got going on right now. But maybe with the new interim head coach, look, it's just a mess. I really can't say much about that. Anything else that you want to say on this situation?
Nah, it's just that, I mean, the bottom line is the talent is on the roster, right? But it's rare for a team to make a coaching change this point in the season and for them to just drastically turn it around. So we'll see how they do in the remaining, the remaining schedule. But it seems like it just screams dysfunction all throughout the organization from the ownership down. And, it always starts with ownership. Like, we know, in the media, players get blamed, coaches get blamed, as they should. But ownership has a big part to do with a lot of this. The front office of ownership has a big part. Like, that's the part a lot of people don't talk about. But if you're a real fan of a certain organization, you'll know, like, yo, it's been this way for years. That's why the Jets have been what they have been for years. Starts with ownership. So we'll see. Like I said, the talent is on the roster, but football, coaching, everything has to be right. Coaching, the management, front office, all of that, everything has to be right. So it's going to be a long ride for them, but hey, we'll see.
Yeah, Jets fans, look, I'm not making any of these records up. You can look at it yourself on Pro Football Reference. The record is what it is since 2016 that I reeled off. You drafted Zach Wilson number 2. You gave in, you overpaid for Aaron Rodgers at that point in his career, coming off an injury now. Like, I don't, at this point, you may not want to hear it. You got to think about the future. That's just what it is. But they're in a situation where they can't afford to think about the future because you gave this money to Aaron Rodgers. So you're saying right now, we have to win. But I don't think it's happening. I think it's a wrap. This is a desperate team. When's the last time a team fired their coach and won a Super Bowl?
Probably has never happened. Not that I know of. Not in my lifetime.
So there you have it. The other news was in the NBA. The Knicks and Wolves made a trade. Karl-Anthony Towns being traded from Minnesota to New York for Julius Randle and Dante DiVincenzo. When I first saw the news, I wasn't shocked because Karl-Anthony Towns, we know, has a high price tag coming up, right? And Minnesota probably doesn't want to – it would be an overpay, in my opinion. I'm not the biggest Karl-Anthony Towns fan as far as his game is concerned. I think he falls in love too much with the three-point. He says he's the best shooting big ever. I don't know how he got better than Dirk Nowitzki, but whatever. And I think the cat to New York thing has always been like a fan NBA Twitter type of conversation and rumor, and it's finally happened. And so I didn't really know how to feel about it for both sides. On one hand, Julius Randle in New York, got to figure out, okay, chemistry-wise, how is he going to fit with what the Knicks are building with the Nova guys? New York, they get a guy in Cat who obviously can be a seamless transition the way he stretches the floor. Him and Brunson can be a lethal duo. And Minnesota for Julius Randle, how does that fit with Rudy Gobert? But I think the more I thought about it, I think this was a move that both teams should be happy about. I think the X factor for me is Dante DiVincenzo. Going to Minnesota, I actually like them adding a DiVincenzo because what he does is he adds another shooter. He has a guy who can actually create some offense, which is what Minnesota's been lacking. I love what Minnesota did this offseason by getting a Rob Dillingham, a Terrence Shannon Jr., adding Dante DiVincenzo. Their main issue last year that caused me to say, okay, they're not beating a Dallas in this series, right, is because you're relying on Anthony Edwards for all your offense from the perimeter. You add Dillingham, Shannon, DiVincenzo, just the toughness that DiVincenzo brings, I think is going to be huge. And I think Randle has a chip on his shoulder now in Minnesota. I think Minnesota is going to be good. I think with this trade, the toughness that Randle is going to bring, that DiVincenzo is going to bring, I think I'm excited to see how it plays out. And I want to side with Minnesota right now. I'm shocked that I'm saying that, but I'm kind of intrigued by what Julius and Dante can bring as far as their experience and their toughness. So I want to see it play out. I think both sides should be happy that they got what they got. But I think the X factor is Dante for sure.
So, bro, I ain't going to lie to you. When I first saw this trade, I was like, I'm not feeling it for either team. Like, I'm not at all. We know that the Knicks, they went and got Mikal Bridges, right? It's supposed to be the Nova Nation. You know, like, they got the Nova boys on the team. Dante played great in the playoffs last year. And you brought one of their other teammates that won a chip with them. And they have a great relationship. And all of them can hoop. Brunson, Hart, Bridges, Dante, all four of them can hoop. And you're bringing them to a Knicks team. The Nova, the way Nova plays, their culture fits perfectly with the Knicks. Like, play defense, play tough. No, don't be selfish, right? Play hard. And they, you know, my only concern with the Knicks was Julius Randle. Like, how are they going to get him to, like, kind of fall in line? Like, not be so worried about scoring and all the, his stats. Because I'm going to be honest, I'm not a big Julius Randle fan at all. Like, when he's – I'll give him credit. When he's hot, like, when his shots are falling, he's one of the best scorers in the game. But he's too inconsistent for me, and he's not a playoff performer. And his style of play just doesn't, like – bro, y'all got Jalen Brunson. We don't need you doing all that, bro. We just don't. So, on one hand, I'm like, all right, they got rid of Randle, but they let go of Dante? Really?
That's the X factor.
You're going to let go of Dante. He just balled for y'all in the playoffs, and you know he's about to come back. Like, you know they're about to kill with Nova and all the players they have. Then my thing is, on the Timberwolves part, they got rid of Cat. Now, I'm not a big Cat fan either. And he has his own issues in the playoffs a lot of the times, right? But the thing is that, like, him and Ant got along really well. You know, Ant even said it, like, that's his boy. And I know that doesn't matter in NBA too much, but chemistry does matter. Then you bring Cat to New York, and it's like, so the Knicks, Cat's play style doesn't even fit. Like, who Cat is as a person, like, as a player, it doesn't even fit the New York culture, like, he's not a defender. He's not like some guy that's going to go in the paint and just bang all game. You just said it. He likes to shoot a lot. I just don't see the, like, from a fit standpoint, okay, yeah, they have a big that can stretch the floor. But it just doesn't, like, it don't fit to me. It just doesn't fit. And I don't like the fit of Randle and Ant. Like, if I'm getting the Randle that I'm expecting, I don't like that fit because, to me, he's taking away shots from Ant. I don't want that as a coach. I don't want that as a fan. I want Ant to get the shots. I don't want to see Julius Randle do tween and try to do a spin midi pull up and brick. I don't want to see all that. I want to see Ant get to it. Now, I do like them having Dante off the bench. That's going to be great, right? And Dillingham, you spoke on it. Dillingham has been, he had a crazy preseason game, by the way. If you want to see the highlights versus the Lakers, check it out. He's the real deal, like, for real. But I don't know. Like, I'm still not feeling the trade. Like, technically, yeah, you could say the Timberwolves won the trade because they got rid of Cat's contract. Randle's on an expiring deal. And Dante, like you say, he's going to be the X factor, right? But I don't know if this move is moving the needle for them. Like, I'm going to have to see it play out. But right now, I'm really not feeling it. And I'm definitely not feeling it for the Knicks either because you got rid of, like, something that's part of your identity as a team. And you're going to try to bring Cat in there. And I'm just not – I'm not big on the idea of him really taking the Knicks over that hump. Plus, also, they're going to suffer with paint defense now. Because, like, bro, he's going to get cooked by Greek, by Embiid. Like, he's going to get cooked by some of these bigs he has to see in the East. Even when they play the Celtics have a lot of size. He's going to get killed on the boards. I don't know. I'm not feeling it for either team.
Yeah, I mean, I'm usually against what Minnesota does because I'm not a fan of Cat. I'm not a fan of Rudy Gobert. I think Minnesota is saying, look, we got to add toughness to this team. Karl-Anthony Towns is not the toughest basketball player, mentally or physically. He shies away from the toughness inside, right? And so, and Julius Randle, yeah, he has his flaws for sure, but he's not soft. We know that. We know Dante isn't soft, right? And when Julius brings, I think, is a – whereas Cat is in love with the three-point shot, I think Julius at least brings a different energy and identity when it comes to his offensive skill set, right? It's not going to just be careless three-pointers. He's at least going to attack and be a physical presence because, you know, Gobert isn't doing that, right? You have a Naz Reid who I think – I think they love Naz Reid, yeah, as they should, too, yeah. Right? And so I think Minnesota's looking at it like, look, the way Ant is progressing and the way he's elevating us, his mentality, his toughness, we got to have guys that match that. And I think Julius, I think Dante are going to match that. In addition to Rob Dillingham and Terrence Shannon, they're rookies, so they'll come along throughout the season. I don't know how it's going to fit. I'm actually intrigued. I want to see it for Minnesota. And maybe Julius Randle, this is a chip on his shoulder too, right? Look, he was a huge part in what New York did over the last few years and getting him to like a certain level, right? Obviously, Jalen Brunson took over and just we know what he's done, but Julius isn't a bad basketball player. He has his flaws, yes. But I'm excited to see how he fits within that Minnesota culture and bringing some more toughness to that situation. For the Knicks, look, Cat's a talented ball player. I have issues with him, the careless fouls, the lack of toughness at times, and he's in love with being the best three-point shooting big man in the league. Like, at the end of the day, I could care less what other results come playoff time. How are you contributing in those certain moments, in those big moments? And I can't trust it. I just really can't. And so as a Sixers fan, as a Celtics fan, especially as a Sixers fan, if we got to face Cat and Embiid's healthy, that's food. Also on the Knicks, you lose Isaiah Hartenstein. You lose Dante DiVincenzo. You lose two valuable pieces, guys that provided toughness. As Sixers fans, we saw that series. They were annoying, right? And so for the Knicks, there's a toughness that you lose. There's a chemistry that you lose. There's an X factor that you lose that Dante definitely brought to the table. But for the Knicks, this is a move that says, look, we weren't sure about the Julius fit. There was always a question mark with that. What's the best deal that we can make to capitalize on this moment? And honestly, Karl-Anthony Towns was the best move that they can make considering who they're giving up, right? Like, who else are you getting? Are you getting anybody better than Cat for Julius Randle? You know what I'm saying? And so they're saying, look, we have Brunson. We got Mikal Bridges. We got to strike while it's hot. Like, we gotta do something to match with what Boston did with Porzingis and what Philly has with Embiid. Like, they got to do something, right? And so this is them saying, look, we feel like we can compete for a championship. This is the best deal that we can do to position ourselves. Whether it works or not remains to be seen. I don't think it will at the end of the day. I love the addition of Mikal Bridges. I love OG. I love Josh Hart and Brunson and what those guys represent and how they – this everything that they do. I just think at the end of the day, there's something – missing when it comes to Cat in big moments and crucial moments that mentally I don't trust. I don't trust it. I've seen it enough. I've seen it too many times. I just don't believe it. I just really don't. And he's not defending Embiid. Like we've mentioned, that's food. And so it'd be interesting to see. The Knicks are a top three team in the Eastern Conference, though. I will say that. And so come playoff time, you never know with injuries. Like, injuries can sway a series, right? And so as a Knicks fan, all you can do is want your team, as for any fan of a team, wish that your team does its best to position itself to win and compete. And that's what the Knicks did. That's what the Sixers did. The Celtics have done that clearly. Those are the top three teams in the Eastern Conference. And we'll see when they battle it out. Two of those three teams will be playing for the NBA Finals. I'm confident in saying it'll be Boston, New York, Boston. It will be some combination of Boston, Philly, Boston, New York. I'm confident in saying that. Two of those three teams will be competing for an Eastern Conference championship. That's injury. Obviously, injuries can happen. But if all things being equal, everybody's healthy, I think two of those three teams will be competing for a championship in the Eastern Conference. We segue into continuing our NBA division by division preview. We start with the Central now. As is the case, we go from first to last place in order that they finished last year. So we start with the Bucks. They added Taurean Prince, Gary Trent Jr., DeLon Wright. They lost Malik Beasley, Pat Bev, who's overseas doing his thing, making money, Jay Crowder, Danilo Gallinari. So you're looking at a roster of Giannis Antetokounmpo, Dame Lillard, Chris Middleton, Taurean Prince, Brooke Lopez, DeLon Wright, Gary Trent Jr., Bobby Portis, Pat Connaughton, Andre Jackson Jr. I look at this roster, and obviously Giannis is there, but I see an aging group with Chris Middleton, who's always hurt. Brooke Lopez is getting older. You got solid guys, but I just think the Sixers, the Celtics, and the Knicks are just they're more dynamic. They're more versatile. They have some nice, exciting young pieces. Outside of Giannis, I mean, Dame is going to be Dame. Dame is going to, you know, he's not washed up by any means. But outside of that, oh yeah, and Doc Rivers is your coach. To me, this team is just, I mean, it annoyed me all last season with what they did with the coaching situation. I don't want to hear any more excuses, or I don't want to hear anything from the Bucks organization right now, because this is what you built for yourself, right? You fired Mike Budenholzer, you fired Adrian Griffin, who had a winning record, and now you bring in Doc Rivers, who nobody has ever said is going to save the day for any franchise. If he's been a coach of your team, you know what I'm talking about, right? And we're not talking about the Celtics championship that was in 08, right? Let's get past that. It's now 2024, my guy. You're living off that. It's over with. I don't believe in the Bucks. I didn't believe in them last year as a championship team. I don't believe in them this year. Nothing. I just think it's an aging roster. Giannis is going to – you have Giannis, so you're going to be respectable, but I'm sorry. Chris Middleton, your best days, it's over. I don't have much to say about the Bucks. I can't put them in the upper echelon like the Knicks, Sixers, and Celtics. I can't do it.
Yeah. I mean, to me, the big thing is going to have to be Dame. He's not washed up, but he does have to turn the clock back for a season or two. He has to turn it back a little bit. Like, he has to make up for the deficiencies on his team. Like, the problem with this team is they have good paint defense, right? You got Brooke. He's still a good paint defender. Giannis, we know he can roam and play, you know, help D guard the paint. But that backcourt of Trent and Lillard, that's food for opposing guards. Food. And Middleton, yeah, he's 6'8", but those injuries adding up, man. He was never the fastest guy, so he's already slower. He's getting older, right? The defense on the perimeter is going to be the downfall of this team. Like, I can see that now. So they need Dame to, like, really come out killing how we know he can, because being honest, last year was a down year for Dame, and I'm a Dame fan. That's my boy. Like, anybody that knows me knows that. But the reality is, it was a down year for him. And I heard what he said about he didn't have, you know, he wasn't focused in the offseason. He had stuff going off with his personal life. Cool. All that should be done now. You had a full offseason. You went through with your divorce, whatever's going on. Cool. Now it's time to hoop. Like, that's what it's going to come down to for the Bucks. Other than that, I don't really got an opinion on them either. I mean, they're not that much different of a team. The core is still there. Right? You replace what? Malik Beasley with Gary Trent in the lineup? They do the same type of thing, if you ask me. Like, they shoot. They're not known as defenders. So, yeah. Other than that.
And the landscape of what the NBA is when it comes to versatile skill sets, guys that can do multiple things on the court, this team is lacking in that. Right? We're talking about Torian Prince, DeLon Wright, Gary Trent Jr., Bobby Portis, Pat Connaughton. Nice role players, right? But they're limited as far as being dynamic basketball players on the court. Like, their impact is dependent upon Giannis driving and kicking it out and spotting up and shooting. Their impact is dependent upon how Dame is attacking and how Dame is able to create for them. Outside of that, yeah, Chris Middleton has been a shot maker, but I don't know how much he has left. He's been missing a lot of games, and I think he'll continue to miss games, whether it's from injury or injury management. And so for me, this team, yeah, it's they had their championship a few years ago, but they haven't done what's needed to take it to the next level. I haven't seen that next gear. I haven't seen the next gear from Giannis or the Bucks. And that's the quiet part that nobody wants to say out loud. I haven't seen the next gear from Giannis. What is the next gear from Giannis? Well, we know what that is. Has he delivered that next gear?
Yeah.
It's the same game. I don't care how many – I don't want to see any more summer workout videos of – who is it? Was he working out with Akeem?
Yeah, they say he paid Akeem $50K or something crazy. They said he paid him some money.
Salute to Akeem for getting that. But Giannis, what you got to understand, people have – look, spending a summer learning how to – work the post like Hakeem versus actually doing it in a game are two different things, because when the pressure's on, you revert to your default settings. And what's Giannis's default settings? Running back, attack, dunk. That's your default setting. Hakeem grew up playing soccer. That footwork was innate in him. You can't learn that in one summer. That has to be a lifestyle. It has to be something that you've been doing since you were a kid. You don't wake up all of a sudden at 28, I want to have post moves. I want to do the dream shake in the game. It just doesn't work like that, right? And so that next level, I haven't seen it from Giannis, and therefore we haven't seen the next level from the Bucks either. As an organization, as a management, as a front office, like, they've gone through multiple coaches. Like, I just think they, as the Celtics have gotten better, the Sixers have gotten better. The Knicks have gotten better. Even the Pacers have gotten better. The Bucks have just – there's none of this. That's my final thought.
Hakeem definitely collected that check. Donations.
Hey, I don't blame them. next, we go to the Cavs. They added Jalen Tyson. Not a lot of big names to mention when it comes to the addition. Jalen Tyson, rookie, had a good summer league, so he could be an actual promising prospect for them. They lost Marcus Morris, Damian Jones. Obviously, the roster, Darius Garland, Donovan Mitchell, Max Strus, Evan Mobley, Jared Allen, Caris LeVert, Isaac Okoro, Dean Wade, George Niang, Sam Merrill, Tristan Thompson, Craig Porter Jr. The Cavs, to me, have – their problem is they're not the Celtics, they're not the Sixers, they're not the Knicks. That's what their issue is. Like, you have talented players in Darius Garland, Donovan Mitchell. I think that's a small backcourt. I don't think that backcourt works because they both need the ball. Evan Mobley hasn't taken that next step as a player. And Jared Allen, talented player, but he's limited in what he can be as an offensive player. Nice role players. But once again, you don't have the length, the positional versatility, or the talent that the top three in the East have. And that's their problem. They're second tier in the Eastern Conference. And as long as they're second tier, as long as this roster is what it is, they can't compete with the Knicks, the Sixers, or the Celtics in the seven-game series. That's their issue. Like, this is not a bad roster, but they just can't compete with those teams. Those teams have positional versatility. Those teams have the length, right? They have the athleticism. They have the size. Like, there's Garland and Mitchell versus Derek White and Drew Holiday or Jaylen Brown. Come on.
Right.
Versus the Mikal Bridges, OG, Josh Hart, Jalen Brunson. Now we got PG in Philly, Caleb Martin, Kelly Oubre, Tyrese Maxey. It's just not comparing. Like, these are great players, individual players. Mitchell can go off for 50, 60, whatever. Garland can go off. But as a roster, basketball-wise, and how the game is today, that's their issue. They're lacking what those top three teams have.
Yeah, my thing with the Cavs is it's been two things for the past few years. Evan Mobley has to evolve. Like we just talked about with Giannis, Evan Mobley has to evolve. He has to find a better half-court bag, right? Because if you ask me, when it comes to offense, him and Jared Allen, it's like on the same spectrum. If you ask me, same realm. Like, they're not going to shoot. They're not going to wow you with post moves. They're good defenders. Evan Mobley can defend on the perimeter better. But offensively, it's the same thing. Yeah, another great that I had with them last year was Garland took a step back, like, from a scoring standpoint. Garland, before Demons got there, Garland was a bucket, right? Now, obviously, you bring in a two-guard that's a great scorer. Of course, naturally, your numbers are going to go down. But I feel like he's too passive now. Like, bro, we still going to need you to score. Like, I think back to when the Trailblazers had McCollum and Dame. They still was trying to score with each other. Even the Wizards, Bill, and, you know, that's a backcourt. You guys can score still. Garland has to get that, like, yo, he's too good of a shooter, too good of a ball handler, and he can attack. He has to take more shooting opportunities. Like, because who are you really creating shots for at the end of the day? D-Mitch is going to get his own. We just told you that Mobley and Allen aren't shooters. Isaac Okoro, come on. Like, we're not worried about him shooting too much. Like, come on, bro. So I need him to really get back into his bag. If one of those two guys can really take that next step, then we can talk. But until then, I'm just not feeling it too much for the Cavs.
And who are they stopping? Who's that backcourt stopping?
Yeah.
Like, people got to understand, like, the flat, look, the points, and we love it. We love the buckets, but come playoff time, like, the Celtics got Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. We're going to get this switch off.
Mm-hmm.
Darius Garland, what you going to do? We saw it in the Dallas series. Luka, what you going to do? Kyrie, what you going to do? At the end of the day, you got to make a stop. Garland and Mitchell aren't making stops against the teams that I mentioned. It's just not happening, right? And so I think the Cavs, if they're not careful, they're going to be like the Wizards where they held on too long with Bill and Wall. They're going to be like the Blazers where they held on to Dame and CJ for too long. They're going to hold on to this group for too long. Before you know it, you're Chicago. Like, oh, our ceiling is second round. Because right now, that's what your ceiling. Your ceiling is second round. You're not better than Boston, Philly, or New York. If you're not better than Milwaukee, if you're not better than Indiana, Orlando's coming too. So this is a very important year. If they get out in the first or second round again this year, I think we know what their ceiling is. And so once you know what your ceiling is, you either go forward and you're telling your fans we're okay with just the status quo, or you got to figure out, okay, we got to figure out how can we get out of this no man's land situation? How can we raise our ceiling? That's my issue with the Cavs right now. Moving on to the Pacers, they added Johnny Furphy, Tristan Newton, and Enrique Freeman in the draft. They added James Wiseman. I had a nice preseason game the other night, actually. I think I'm here for the James Wiseman finding his role in the league, finally. They lost Doug McDermott and Jalen Smith, so your roster, you're looking like Tyrese Haliburton, Andrew Nembhard, Aaron Nesmith, Pascal Siakam, Miles Turner, TJ McConnell, salute, process legend, Benedict Mathurin. I'm excited to see what he does when he comes back from injury. Ben Shepherd, Obi Toppin, Isaiah Jackson, Jairus Walker.
You miss Okafor. They brought him in the training camp. Okafor.
They brought it's a training camp deal?
It's a training camp. He was on Theo Pitts' podcast. I was watching it.
Is he going to make the team, though?
I don't know. We'll see.
I feel like
just shout out.
Here's the thing with Ja, with Okafor. His game, like, I think the game has passed him by. We're not discrediting his talent. But especially with how the Pacers play too, it's just a weird fit, right? And so it's a training camp. I feel like he's probably had some training camp deals before. Who knows? But look, I hope he makes the comeback. It'll be a great story if him and Wiseman had like great comebacks this year. But the Pacers, exciting series with the Knicks last year. They lose to the Celtics in the playoffs. I like the roster, but once again, their issue is they're not the Celtics, they're not the Knicks, they're not the Sixers. I think the X factor for this team will be Mathurin. I think he has I think he can add a dynamic that nobody else on this team can offer with his size, his athleticism, his mentality. Like, he's a talented player, and I think if he comes back, if he takes that next level, I think he raises the ceiling of this Pacers team. But outside of that, look, this is a solid team. Pascal Siakam, getting him. Look, they said it. Look, we're trying to compete. You're not a championship team right now unless Mathurin, unless Haliburton, unless guys like Nembhard continue to evolve and take it to the next level. But for the Pacers, yeah, I like the roster, but it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough to compete against the big three with this roster. It is. Man.
But I feel like the Pacers, they're that team. The way they play and the players they have that can fit their play style, they're always going to give teams a run.
Yeah.
Like we've seen, they gave the Celtics a run. Like even though, they didn't win.
Yeah.
All those games were close. And even the Celtics, I forgot who it was. I want to say it was either Derek White or Tatum. Somebody on the Celtics said that was the toughest team they played.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you could see it when they played. Like, I was surprised. But it's because of that style of play, mm-hmm. right? And Haliburton is running that show. Like, they're getting the ball up quick. He's hitting the right guys. They just got to hit their shots. You know what I mean? And you playing teams like that in basketball is so tricky because if they get hot, yo, that game can turn from close to not close real mm-hmm. quick. And I think they found something in Andrew Nimhart.
No, he's nice.
He played real good for them. In this playoff, he played real good for them. So I think they might have found something in him.
No, he's a player.
But it's just like you said, they're not the Celtics, they're not the Sixers, they're not the Knicks. But at the same time, I could see them giving us a run. I could see them giving the Knicks the run. They're not mm-hmm. they gave the Celtics a run. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's like I'm not going to count them out, but realistically, we know they're not going to go to the finals. But, they're going in the right direction because they have a lot of young players. You know what I mean? It's not like there's some old team.
Yeah.
So they just have to keep making good moves. Like they draft smart. They make good signings. So we just got to see how they keep moving. But they're in the right direction.
Mathurin is the key for me. Like if Mathurin comes back from the injury, if he really locks in it, if there's a next step for Mathurin this year, I think that will even raise their ceiling even higher. So I like the Pacers roster. They had great experience last season. I just got to see how it works out with Mathurin comes back. And that could be huge. That's when it comes to the Pacers, the X factor to me is Mathurin. I got my eye on that. Now we get some comedy now. We go from the serious to the unserious franchises. This is a team that I've had my issues about for the last few years, the Bulls. They added Josh Giddey, Chris Duarte. Talen Horton-Tucker is a Bull now. A lot of Lakers fans thought he was the next one up. Matas Buzelis. They lost Alex Caruso, DeMar DeRozan, and Andre Drummond. So your roster is Zach LaVine, Kobe White, Josh Giddey, Patrick Williams, Nikolai Vucevic. Put a star by Lonzo Ball. They're saying he's coming back. Well, I believe it when I see it. Ayu Dosunmu, Matas Buzelis, like I just mentioned, Torrey Craig, and Jalen Smith. Chicago Bulls, to me, continue to be unserious because you have Zach LaVine and Vucevic on your roster still, and so I can't take you serious. Start trying to get Cooper Flagg, Ace Bailey, Dylan Harper. Like, Chicago Bulls fans, that's what this is about. You're a few years away from even contending for a playoff spot right now at this point. But love Kobe White, UNC, doing his thing last year. Patrick Williams hasn't lived up to his lottery selection. Zach LaVine is still a Chicago Bull. He shouldn't be. Nikolai Vucevic shouldn't be a Chicago Bull still. Look, this team, this management, they send out conflicting messages like we're trying to compete. We're not rebuilding, but your roster tells me otherwise. You're going nowhere fast, and we said this 2 years ago. We could have said this 3 years ago. The trio of DeRozan, LaVine, and Vucevic was not going to get you to an Eastern Conference championship. Now what you have here, you're stuck in the middle because you have LaVine. Your roster isn't trash, but you don't have a single clear superstar on this team. You don't have a franchise player on your team right now. You don't even have look, Zach LaVine isn't a number two for me anymore. On a championship playoff team, he's not. I mean, I got to keep it a buck. He is not. Josh Giddey, I have solid player. Patrick Williams, Kobe White is the most promising player you have on your roster right now. Outside of that, his management is trash, and you're going to get trash on the court. So Chicago, congratulations once again for another year of wasting a year and playing yourself, because we told you repeatedly, you got to get rid of LaVine, DeMar, and Vucevic, and yet they're still here.
I'm just shaking my head over here. I just looked at the roster.
It's a bad roster. It makes no sense.
I don't even want to talk about it too much.
It's a confusing roster. There's
nothing to talk about. Like, I don't know what I'm looking at. I don't know who's. First of all, they got like 20 players listed on this joint. So that means
they're gonna get cut.
Yeah, I know, but it's like, bro, like
It makes no sense.
I don't know.
LaVine, it makes no sense.
I like LaVine's game, but the reality is, like you say, he's not even a number two no more. Too many guys have come in and passed him up. Like, if I asked you right now, who would you rather have on the championship, Derek White or LaVine?
Derek White, come on.
Like, because he's going to do the things that
LaVine
isn't going to do. And LaVine's level of scoring, his level of scoring doesn't make up for, like, who he is as a player, like, if that makes sense. Like, he's not like a – he's a good scorer, but I won't say he's an elite scorer.
He's
like,
not an elite scorer.
You know
scorer.
What I mean?
He's not an elite scorer. He's over, way overpaid.
He's overpaid. He done had some injuries. I just don't feel it. Like, I want to see what Buzelis does because I like his game. Yeah, I hope he pans out in the NBA.
He'll develop.
That's what they need. Like, but, yeah, it's time to ball for the Cooper Flags sweepstakes or the VJ Edgecombe.
Ace Bailey, somebody.
They need to get whoever.
For the next four years. Let's just keep it above.
It's time to get right.
It took you it took you all this time to reach this point. It's going to take you just as much time unless you luck out because this management has proven that it can't be trusted. It has no idea what it's doing. For a city, for a market like Chicago, there's no business for you to be acting incompetent like you've been acting. There's no reason why Zach LaVine should have gotten all that money. But that's what happens with these franchises. They get desperate. Like, who else are we going to get? Zach LaVine is at least going to fill seats. Most of these front offices are all about selling tickets, filling the seats up. So we're going to overpay for Zach LaVine because at least it's exciting. At least it gives fans this false sense of hope. We got DeMar DeRozan, LaVine, Vucevic. We can compete for a play in the annual NBA TV Classic, right? But now you're going to see this year when there's trash, we're going to see how business is at the end of the day, right? So Chicago, Cooper Flagg, Ace Bailey, VJ Edgecombe, Dylan Harper, get used to that. Start studying the mock drafts, do the tankathons because that's where you're headed. Speaking of tankathons, Pistons. They added your boy, Tobias Harris, Malik Beasley, Tim Hardaway Jr., Ron Holland, Paul Reed, Sixers legend. They lost Malachi Flynn, Evan Fournier, and Quentin Grimes. Your roster, Kay Cunningham, Jay and Ivy, Asar Thompson, Tobias Harris, Jalen Duren, Marcus Sasser, Malik Beasley, Tim Hardaway Jr., Tobias Harris, Simone Fontecchio, who actually like his game, Isaiah Stewart, and of course, Paul Reed, Ron Holland. Those are your 2024-25 Detroit Pistons. They have a new coach, too, J.B. Bickerstaff, who got fired after leading the Cavs to the second round of playoffs. Detroit, another franchise that's been incompetent, and that's why they're here once again. My question with Detroit is, for me, outside of the development of Asar and Jay and Ivy and Jalen, that those are important, is Kay Cunningham like that? And when I say like that, like, he's a talented player. Nobody's quote, but is he? Trajan Langdon had a quote. He's not sure if he's a championship player, but we'll see. And that tells me everything I need to know.
Wait, who said
the jury's still out? Trajan Langdon, who's like their GM.
Okay.
So that tells me the jury's still out, which I agree. Like, we don't know what Kate is because it's been so much dysfunction in that organization from the coaching to the basketball style. We got to see if Kay Cunningham is actually, if you have aspirations of winning a championship, is he like that? Or is he a great number two, which is nothing wrong with that. There are like this, that's a great thing. But is he like that? And to me, for Detroit, you got to figure that out sooner rather than later.
My whole thing is, how are they going to ever figure this out? Like, what are they going to do? Like, I don't, because last year, first of all, their spacing was terrible. He still managed to average 22 points a game. That's good for him. Cade, coming out of college, we knew he was he's an all-around player, good size at point guard, right? But I don't know, like, how would they ever know if he's like that? They're not putting him – but it's
– is Cade dynamic as a – you know what I mean? Like, we see what Jalen Brunson did to elevate a Knicks franchise. Does Cade have that? And like, does?
But see, I don't.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, I get what you're saying, but
Ja Morant.
I don't think anybody can elevate this team like to that magnitude. Like, other than maybe the top five players in the league, but even then, I don't know, bro. Well, they added some players, but.
They added Tobias Harris.
They added Malik Beasley, Tobias. Tobias would probably ball with them too. That's the funny part.
Because he has no expectations. Yeah,
Tim Hardaway.
Let me tell you, Tobias Harris, we do not care.
I'm interested in seeing Ron Holland though.
He's going to grow.
I'm interested in seeing him. Listen, man. Sweepstakes.
That's
what it is.
You paid a guy, Monty Williams, you didn't even want to coach y'all.
Right.
He was the highest paid. You had to give him the biggest contract ever for him to coach you guys. Yep. He didn't want to coach. Yeah. And this is what you get.
Yeah.
So Detroit, you got to figure out what this roster, you got to figure out who these guys are. Is Jaden Ivey going to develop? Is Asar Thompson going to develop?
Like Jaden Ivey needs the ball.
Like Jalen Doran, look, great rebounder. But are you going to develop? Is he going to develop? Is this the right infrastructure within this organization to develop? That's what it is, right? And so they got to figure out what's what, who's who. But you're lottery bound. That's what you are.
And the thing that I sucks about all these young players, they're building bad habits on this team.
Yeah.
Just losing habits. Like, I remember John Wall was talking about when he went to the Rockets, and he was saying, like, the short time he was there, he was trying to tell Jalen Green and all them, like, yo, like, losing and all this, like, this ain't cool. Like, y'all going to end up building bad habits. Like, y'all not getting better. Like, y'all supposed to be getting better. Like, I know y'all had the best team on paper, but, yo, like, losing, it can be contagious. Like, it can get like that. And John Wall, like, he's not no NBA champion or nothing, but his Wizards teams were always in the playoffs. Like, they were always in the mix. So, just as a piss, like, that's what I'm saying about Cade. It's like, I feel like his game is there, but it's so, like, I don't know. Like, I watched him go head-to-head with the Celtics, like, in the regular season. Like, I like Cade. I like Cade's game a lot.
He has a good game.
I like Cade. Like, and it's just bad to watch. Like, I wish he could just get out of there because I just don't know. Like, and I get what we were saying about, you know, is he a difference maker? But I feel like that team, especially last year, was so bad. It's like, bro, who could we really put on that team? And you're going to say, yeah, they about to make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in the whole league, though, like, Giannis, Luka, all of them, like, I would look at that and be like, yo, they suck. All they have is this person. All they have is that person. Mm-hmm. Just like I'm saying right now, all they have is Cade.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I mean,
is there an element when it comes to being the number one guy on a franchise for a franchise of making others better that I think that's what I'm
– Yeah.
I want to see you make others better.
But see,
right?
They can't even shoot.
And but there are ways that you can give guys in position to, you know, get their buckets, right?
Yeah.
Like, and that comes with coaching at times as well. But like, Detroit has to figure out, okay, if we're trash this year, if they get a Cooper Flagg or an Ace Bailey, is that our new franchise guy?
Right.
And I think right now the answer would be yes.
Yeah.
And so that's why I bring that up, because if you say Cade versus a Cooper Flagg, Cade versus an Ace Bailey, will Detroit put all their hopes in those two guys versus a Cade all of a sudden? Would he, like, that's my question.
I mean, they would just keep both, though, if you ask
They me. Would keep both, but who would be the mark? Who would be the guy
you
that they
going to be? Yeah, you know it's going to be
Cooper
or
Ace, right?
Yeah, definitely.
And so that's my – and that's when I say the games that Cooper and Ace have, it's – there's a certain dynamic – to their games that I feel like Detroit and other teams would definitely want to develop and say, okay, that's the guy that we want.
Right.
Right. But maybe K could be a great number two. If K's your number two, like, yeah, your ceiling's pretty high. But once again, he could be the number one. I think the jury's still out. And I think Detroit knows that, but they got to figure it out quickly. Right. Well, who knows? If they land under the top two pick and get Cooper or Ace, whoever else may rise up, that question may already be answered for them. Like, okay, we're gonna get one of these guys and they're gonna take the reins, right? That's my only thing. But regardless, you're not winning. That's what we do know. Tobias Harris continues to finesse the league. Salute to that. That's all I got for Detroit. I have much to say about Detroit. We got one more division to go over. We'll do that next show. That would be Orlando, Miami, Atlanta. That would be the Southeast Division.
Yeah, Southeast
Division. So we'll do that next week to complete our NBA preview. And then regular season is up in a couple weeks. So
sure.
we're going to be really busy. It's that time of the year where you got everything happening. Baseball playoffs. You got the NFL's in full swing. College football. College ball about to start up soon. NBA's is about to swing. So, yeah, definitely keep watching. Stay tuned. I'm excited to see what these next couple weeks will bring. Got a lot of preseason stuff to talk about, too. So, not a lot to talk about. Going to have a lot to talk about for sure. So, definitely watch us on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Like and subscribe. And don't forget to share us, too, to your group chats and your family and friends.
All right. Peace out.